This is Pat Lackey of Where Have You Gone, Andy Van Slyke, and you're listening to the weekly podcast at RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Red's Land here in, on a lovely Thursday evening, right after the Pirates have broken a 13-game losing streak by beating the White Sox. And on the podcast tonight, we are very pleased to have a very special guest, Pat Lackey from our very favorite Pirates blog, Where Have You Gone, Andy Van Slyke. So welcome to the show, Pat.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. You guys must be pretty excited having broken that big losing streak.
Well, it's—I don't know. It's been a while since the Pirates have won a game, but I think a lot of Pirates fans had kind of had their hopes up that we were going to take the all-time longest losing streak into the All-Star break.
How long would that have had to be to be the all-time longest?
I think the longest was 23 by the 61 Phillies, and
you still had a way to go.
As it would have lined up, we would have been at 24 with the last loss coming to the Phillies at the break.
And that would have been awesome then to then go on and host the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they have a whole lot of positive propaganda lined up for the Pirates from the ownership. And there's not really much positive going on. And it would have been tough to ignore a losing streak like that with the national media in town and everything. So
I see. So the idea there being that if you could be bad enough, then they would have to do something about it.
Yeah, hopefully, like, embarrass them into making some changes, but it's nice to win, too.
Well, yeah. So is it nice to win, or are you jaded at this point? I mean, after you lose for so long, can you still get excited about it?
Well, today was a good win because it was the White Sox, you know, defending world champs. And the way it happened was Freddie Sanchez and the walk-off. And a lot of us are kind of hoping that somebody will take notice of Freddie Sanchez and his 360 batting average at this point in the year and, you know, maybe get a spot on the All-Star team, and maybe today will do that for him. But I don't know whether a terrible baseball team is going to get two All-Stars.
Speaking of your All-Star representative, you think is Bay definitely a clinch? Is he the one who's going to go?
I think so. With the way the voting's gone, I mean, if he gets voted in, obviously he's going to have to go.
Oh, clearly. Is he going to get voted in?
He was first among outfielders in the last balloting. I don't know how it's going to look on Sunday night, but I guess we'll see.
That's amazing. So, he's had some recent comments there in the media about the mix of personnel wasn't right, the chemistry just wasn't there, and he thought it would be a good idea to tear it up.
There's been some rumors flying around about certain players that aren't very liked in the clubhouse. I don't know how much any of it's true. Specifically some of the older guys we brought in, but I guess that's what's going to happen, you know, when you're on a losing streak like this.
Well, yeah, clearly you got to do something.
Yeah.
And keeping those expensive guys around doesn't make much sense. But then again, from what I've seen out of the Pirates management, they do all sorts of things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much been their MO for the last 14 years or so.
So who is it that isn't very popular? Or what does the rumor say?
Well, obviously, Burnett's is not popular among the fans. Like this week, he's getting paid $6.5 million this year. And he's done absolutely nothing. And then this week we got to watch Jermaine Dye and his, you know, 25 home runs and 50-some RBIs. Not 25 for Dye, but, you know, he's in there in the heart of the White Sox lineup. He's only making $5 million this year, which is less than Burnett's. And I don't know, there have been rumors that Rand has not been popular in the clubhouse. I don't know how true that is. Rand has always seemed like a nice guy to me, but, you know, he's making $4 million, and he's done less than Burnett's this year.
Well, he's a real sweetheart, but what's going to happen with him after this season? Is he going to be retiring?
We had heard that he wanted to retire before the season even started.
Oh, yeah.
And he was made an offer by the Pirates front office that he couldn't refuse, which we couldn't understand because, you know, we had just watched Freddie Sanchez take over third base in the second half of the year, and he plays a lot like a younger Joe Randa.
Hmm.
And so we couldn't, you know, as fans, we couldn't figure out the logic behind sign, you know, because we only have so much money to start with.
Right.
In Pittsburgh, it's, you know, similar to Cincinnati in that respect. And here you're going to spend $4 million on a guy that is just an older version of a player you already have. And, you know, sure enough, Randa got hurt and Sanchez has, you know, wrestled the job away from him to the point that they have no choice but to play Sanchez every day. So, and now we've got Joe Randa and his $4 million contract on the bench, which isn't what you want to see.
Well, no. So will they be able to flip him? Will they be able to trade him at the deadline?
Does
anyone want him?
I can't imagine there would be any takers for somebody like Randa at this point. Just because of, you know, the bad start he's gotten off to. He's been hurt a couple times this year.
Yeah. Still, it'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love it if we could trade Burnitz and Randa and all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Given Littlefield's track record, I don't know. I'm not keeping my hopes up for that.
Yeah. Speaking of investing way too much money in old guys, it seems like the area papers are condoning signing Casey to a long-term deal. What the hell are they smoking?
Casey's a local guy, and one of the things that I've always talked about on my site is that it seems like the Pirates ownership thinks it's easier to, like, create an illusion of competition than to actually compete. And so, since Casey's a local guy, a lot of fans are kind of blind to the fact that he's really not very good anymore. And, you know, they see a big left-handed first baseman with a short right field wall at PNC Park, but he doesn't even, you know, he's not even a power hitter.
Oh, no.
This is one of the things that the Pirates ownership does that always kind of upsets me, because they bring in likable guys like Sean Casey and Joe Randa, and then, you know, they're going to pay Casey all this money, and now you're going to have I'm going to have no choice but to sit there and, you know, when Casey gets hurt next year and the year after that, you're going to have to dislike a guy like Sean Casey because of the money that they're going to pay him.
Oh, yeah. Well, with as much money as they're putting into these old guys, they could be getting some young talent. Do you think that they have a problem evaluating young talent where they can't figure out anyone better, so they just go with the old guys?
I don't know. This has kind of been a topic of debate. Like, through the draft, I don't know if they have a problem evaluating talent or they have a problem developing talent. And then in terms of, like, younger free agents, I don't know if they can get anybody to sign here. They would have to get someone to kind of break the mold. You know, like Detroit did it a couple years ago. They overpaid for a few guys,
mm-hmm.
like Maglio Ordonez and a couple other guys. And then once they went there, free agents kind of realized that it was okay to go play for Detroit. But until then, it was the same thing as Pittsburgh. You know, free agents look at Pittsburgh, and they see it as the place that, like, Jeremy Burnitz and Joe Randa and Derek Bell and Raul Mondesi, all their careers came to die.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I'm not going to sign with Pittsburgh. I'm not ready for my career to be over yet.
Well, if that's the case, there could be hope sooner than later, because, I mean, you know, Detroit's turned it around pretty quick.
They did. They have a much – they at the point when they turned it around, they had a much better farm system than we have right now.
Did they enjoy any influx of money or anything? I've heard that there's a popular demand for a new owner.
Yeah.
And
well, there certainly is.
Do you think that that would be the key? Do you think that that would really put it together for your team?
I think the problems that we've seen with the Pirates in what's going to be our 14th consecutive losing season now is, you know, they've changed GMs, they've changed managers several times, and they're still having the same problems they've had since the mid-90s. And I think that at this point, you know, change has to come from the top. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be someone that's going to spend so much more money, but they just have to spend it, you know, in a smarter way.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, every year there's a couple teams with a low payroll that have a great team. And, you know, that's been the excuse of the ownership in Pittsburgh practically since they bought the team in 96. You know, we just don't have the kind of money to compete on the same scale. And then on the same hand, you know, they're spending, you know, $6 million on Burnitz, $4 million on Randa. You know, they signed Roberto Hernandez for almost $3 million, and he's been good. But when you're the Pirates, what do you need to spend $3 million on a 42-year-old setup guy for?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter how good he is. He doesn't help the problem that much.
Yeah. Yeah, so what you need is someone, you know, with some direction.
Yeah.
We've seen that in Cincinnati this year. And
yeah,
you can't overestimate the importance of a good owner and the big difference they can make in an organization. Now, admittedly, he completely cleaned house when he came in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if
that, I think that's something that would have to happen here as well. I mean, Littlefield has been here for, this will be the end of his, let me think. He got hired halfway through 2001. So it'll be 4.5 years since he's been hired, if my math is right. Sorry. And, you know, I don't think we've won more than like 72 games in those 5 years.
Wow.
So, you know, if a new owner were to come in, I would hope that he would clean house, because I can't imagine succeeding with the front office that we have now.
So how do you keep going? How do you stay motivated as a fan with all of the losing you've had all these years?
Well, I mean, there's certain players you like to go see every day. Not every day, but, you know, like now, you know, there's a couple young pitchers with Duke and Snell and Mahalem. They're fun to go out and go and see. There's Bay and Sanchez. And I mean, I've always been a big baseball fan, and it's baseball. You know, I live like a 15-minute walk from the ballpark.
That's nice.
I was there on Tuesday just to see the White Sox because, you know, the White Sox, and they happen to, I mean, I'm a Pirates fan, but.
Well, you might as well see them as long as they're in town.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about players, one of my favorite Pittsburgh players has always been Thor. Craig Wilson.
Craig Wilson, of course.
And it seems like they've got something against him. What's the problem with Craig Wilson? Why doesn't he ever get to play? I know he's hurt right now.
I don't know. I don't know how bad he's hurt. I don't know if we'll ever find out how bad he actually is hurt with the way they've handled him in the past. But it just seems like ever since he's come up, they, you know, they stuck him with a label. And even though he's proven that the label isn't really appropriate, they still, you know, they still pretend like it is. You know, when he came up, they said he was a guy without a position that could only hit lefties. And, you know, in the past 6 years, he's turned himself into a pretty decent first baseman and right fielder. I mean, he's not going to win any gold gloves, but he's not hurting anybody when he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits.
Yeah, and he's hitting.
They say that he's too streaky, but, I mean, that's what everybody is when you really get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There have been rumors that, you know, they don't like Craig Wilson because he drinks too much Pepsi, which doesn't even make sense
what?
With some of the stuff these other players take. And I don't know if you've ever been to PNC Park, but what they do at the beginning of every year is the players paint paintings for their introduction at the plate.
Huh.
And they put the paintings up on the scoreboard, and then at the end of the year they auction them off, like for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, Craig Wilson stuck a huge picture of the Mona Lisa in the middle, and then he just put a 3 and 6 for his number on either side, you know, just, you know, messing around. And apparently the team was really offended that he didn't take this serious, you know, he wasn't being serious enough about this endeavor for charity. And, you know, you read stuff like that and you're just like, well, come on, lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, really.
So I don't know. I would like to see him back next year, but he's going to be a free agent, and I can't imagine he would want anything to do with us after the way his career to this point is gone.
Has he said anything to that effect, or is he keeping pretty mum about it?
He hasn't said anything. Supposedly, I think his agent said they had spoken to Littlefield about an extension before the season started when they were negotiating, you know, because he was up for arbitration this year, and Littlefield didn't want to extend him. And he hasn't said anything directly, but he kind of seems like a guy that just wants to get out of town right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame him.
Oh, no. No, I mean, you can't blame anyone
no.
for their displeasure with the team. What's up with this this Irate Fans organization that I've been seeing on your site and on what, the web?
That was started by a few guys from a message board, a Pirates message board. And I don't know exactly how the idea came about. But, you know, obviously, Pirate without the P is irate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they talked about it for a little while, and they voted on designs for the shirts. And
I saw the shirt. Very
They got the
cute.
Shirt printed up, and it looked great. And so they decided that right around the time was when they have an outing for the guys on the message board.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided they would go meet, and they'd all get their shirts and go into the game. And so I had posted something about it on my blog. A couple other people had posted it on their blogs. And an assignment editor from one of the local news stations contacted me about it because she saw it on my website. And then I talked to them, and, you know, we got a couple interviews. And from there, that just kind of got the ball rolling. And it's taken off more than anybody could have ever hoped that it would have.
So was that television?
Yeah, the first night the irate fans met, they interviewed a couple of us, a couple of the older guys in the group, because apparently, I don't know, they just don't believe that somebody my age could be that irate. Because I'm only 21, but like I like to tell people, it's going to be 2/3 of my life that the Pirates haven't even been able to finish 500, so I'm as angry as anybody about this.
Mm-hmm.
But they got started there, and then, you know, they started selling shirts off the website, and then there was an article in the Post-Gazette, which is like the major paper in Pittsburgh, yesterday, and I think they doubled their shirt sales in 24 hours since then, and so we're trying to get something together for the All-Star game now.
Wow. So, you know, are they just making a buck off this? Or the?
No, they're not making any money at all off the shirts.
Oh, yeah?
They're selling them at cost. They're shipping them as cheap as they can. They
wow.
just, you know, they want to get the message out there that,
yeah.
I mean, we're angry.
Well, yeah.
We've had enough.
Well, that's really cool. That's the kind of grassroots movement that you like to see out of your fans. You can tell that's a fan base that cares.
Yeah.
Not happy, but cares.
Yeah. It's tough for anybody to be happy at this point. So.
Yeah. So do you get called up by television stations a lot?
Not really that often. I've got a couple emails from like a couple columnists and the beat writers, but
now, I've seen
not really that often.
I've seen like a blog roundup or something in one of the newspapers.
Yeah.
And how do you have such a tight relationship with legitimate media?
I don't know. I was kind of surprised, you know, when some things like that started happening. And I think it's because some of the guys that write for the Post-Gazette are a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they feel as threatened by the blogs. Because there's a couple of older columnists for the papers that, you know, you hear them on TV going, oh, these guys are just sitting in their apartments with their computers. They don't know anything. Which is kind of the reaction that I expected.
Mm-hmm.
If there would be any reaction at all, you know, when I started doing this. And I think that, you know, some of the younger guys that work for the papers kind of realize that, you know, nobody sits in their house and cancels the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette because they're reading Where Have You Gone, Andy Van Slyke now. You know, we kind of complement each other. You know, they have the access to the players and, you know, they can write the better recaps. And then there are certain things that you can say on a blog that you can't say in a newspaper.
Oh, sure.
And so, I've been pleasantly surprised with the way the relationship between the Pirates blogs and the local media, you know, the mainstream media, has gone.
Well, I'm sure that the passion that you guys have for your team makes it easier for the media to get good information and get good story ideas from you too.
Yeah, in the end, everybody wants the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, from the Pirates.
Well, maybe you can explain this on Red Hot Mama. I've got on my sidebar the most read entries.
Mm-hmm.
My number one most read entry of all time is the demotivational posters from last September. That's been viewed almost 10,000 times. But the second most viewed entry ever is a fake news story I wrote about the Pirates in the off season.
And which one was that?
It was the one about the Pirates pursuing the Reds opening day infield. And it has surpassed even the Bronson Arroyo commercial for being more read. And I cannot for the life of me figure out how that happened, because I haven't found any place where it's been particularly linked to.
Really?
Is it just the incredible passion of the Pirates fans?
It must be, because, I mean, the Bronson Arroyo commercial was on Deadspin, right?
Oh, yeah. Were the posters, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That surprises me. I don't know. I think I linked to it when you wrote it, but... That was a while ago, wasn't it?
And it's not just a few views either. Let me see if I can.
Yeah.
The Pirates pursue Reds 2005 infield has been viewed over 1,600 times.
Really?
Yeah. And well, whereas the Bronson Arroyo commercial has only been viewed over 1,500 times, so it's over 100, almost 100 more views.
I guess the only yesterday in the article that was written in the Post Gazette. The reporter, Chuck Finder, noted that at that point yesterday, there were almost as many Pirates blogs and websites on the internet as the Pirates had wins. So, I mean, there is a surprising number of sight, we don't have that many wins, so it's not that big of a number. But, you know, there is a surprising number of pirate sites, you know, for a team that's so bad. I guess that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
Oh, you got a lot of fans out there. You guys really deserve a better team than you've got.
I think so.
I hope it comes together for you here pretty soon.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate having you around. Hope you can come back
soon. Thank you for having me. Well, it's another sunny day in the stands, and I'm slinging dogs for all the Reds fans. When I look up at that jumbotron screen, I see a girl who looks just like a dream. She's an angel in red specs, got a lock and jersey on. She's diving for a foul ball. She's looking like Edith's trying to bring one back from over the wall, yeah. Let me be your Mr. Perfect. Let's go out to eye.
Visit us online at red-hot-mama.com or send an email to rhm@red-hot-mama.com.